So welcome back to ENCE 353, and today we're going to start our introduction to structural analysis. Let me share the screen with you. Okay, here's the outline, introduction to structural analysis. So what we're going to cover is the basic framework from getting from mechanics to analysis to design, making appropriate assumptions, and taking advantage of things like symmetry when they exist. Okay, so this is like the bread and butter of structural analysis. And the handout's kind of long, so what I'm going to do is partition it into three parts, and today we'll just do part one. So it's kind of short, and we'll get a bird's eye view of where ENCE 353 fits in the big scheme of things. And we'll discuss how structural mechanics connects to structural analysis, okay? So those are the two key ideas. Right, so the starting point for all of this is mechanics, okay? And mechanics is the branch of science that deals with the response of matter to forces. And it crops up in many different areas of engineering. So within civil, you have structural mechanics, and it basically covers relationships between stress and strain, material and material displacements. You have geomechanics, which deals with similar issues for soil behavior, but also includes things like pressure, you know, fluid pressure, temperature, and displacements. You have mechanics and fluid mechanics, okay? We're talking about, you know, velocity streams, distributions of pressure, and mechanics even crops up in other areas of engineering that are, you know, outside civil. For example, biomechanics, right? Sort of the mechanics of the, you know, things that live, and you might study, you know, mechanics of the eye, mechanics of the heart, they're distinct from the kinds of things that you see in civil engineering, because biological systems grow, okay? And so if we were at a university that had a, you know, a huge medical school, like say Hopkins or Stanford, then lots of people who are in civil engineering would probably team with people in the medical school and look at biomechanics. It's very, very similar and extremely interesting. And the common thread that among all of these potential applications is relationships between stress and strain, okay? So it's the starting point for analysis. And so the next basic question is, where does ENCE 353 fit in all of this? Well, you have you can draw a diagram that sort of shows a hierarchy of how things fit together, right? So at the starting point for everything is mechanics. And in our particular case, structural mechanics. And structural mechanics can be developed into statics, strength of materials, and dynamics. So statics is the study of structures that are kind of time invariant. And dynamics is the study of structures where you know, you have to take into account things like accelerations, velocities, in order to maintain equilibrium, okay? So statics leads to theory of structures. And for our purposes, theory of structures branches into two parts. Determinant structures, where you only need statics to determine the distribution of forces, okay? And indeterminate structures, where there's maybe too many constraints on the structure, and so statics alone is not enough to determine the distribution of forces, and you need to go searching for additional information. And most of the time, you're going to find that additional information in strength of materials. So you're going to look at the, you know, stress-strain relationship of steel, concrete, or whatever the material happens to be, and incorporate that into your analysis and impose, you know, certain compatibility conditions, and then you're good to go in terms of intermediate structures. So this is the scope of ENCE 353. And everything that we do will be kind of small structures you can do with hand calculations. ENCE 453, things will scale up, and you use matrix calculations, so that's why MATLAB is important. And if you choose to continue in this area and come back to graduate school, then there'll be whole courses designed around dynamics and how to, you know, solve problems in terms of computing behavior for responsive structures during earthquakes, wind, and so forth. Okay, so that's that. Okay, so as I think I mentioned in the introduction, the scope of the class will also be concerned with structural systems that are attached to the ground. So this makes this class different than what you might find in mechanical engineering or aerospace engineering. And the pathway forward is roughly as follows. First of all, we connect mechanics to analysis. Then once you have a framework for analysis, you can connect analysis to design. And the theory of structures partitions into two parts: statically determinate structures, statically indeterminate. And in this particular class, we're going to make a handful of simplifying assumptions so that the mathematics doesn't become too complicated. And these assumptions can be relaxed in future classes. Right. So what does the pathway from mechanics to analysis look like? Okay. So if we were doing a regular class, let me show you a picture of a concrete beam. Okay, so imagine having a concrete beam here. It might have span L. And then there's two loads applied at the third and the two-thirds point. Okay. And then so normally what I do is I basically tease the students and say, okay, if I increase the load, okay, where will the cracks occur and what kind of behavior will happen? Okay. So I think it's pretty easy to see that this dash curved is a profile of what the deflection will look like. And so internally, there's three kinds of forces going on here. There is bending moment. So if I extract a little element, there's bending moment that's going to act on a tiny element and impose a deformed shape like this. This isn't a very good picture, but it gets the general idea. So the fiber in the bottom of the beam will stretch, and the fiber in the top of the beam will contract. So the top will be in compression, C, and the bottom will be in tension, T, right? So there's going to be bending moments, and that's essentially bending moments lead to flexure, and flexure corresponds to either contraction or tension, compression or tension in the top and bottom fiber. So the second type of force that we'll deal with in this class is shear forces, right? So if I extract an element and I apply a shear force, right? So the element's going to deform like this. And if I was to draw diagonals here, then you'd see that this diagonal would extend, elongate, and this diagonal here would contract, okay? And so you have elongation here, contraction here. And then the third type of force is axial force, N of X, okay? So you're basically just taking the element and pulling on it, and it just gets a little bit longer. So the mechanics of this is actually pretty simple. So the next interesting question is, well, if this is an experimental setup, okay, what kind of behavior is going to happen? And if you were in a lab, where would the crack patterns occur? And how would they be tied back to the mechanics? So the bending moment diagram for this setup is actually very simple. Okay, so the bending moment is going to be constant between the loads here. It's going to be zero at the endpoints, and it's going to vary like this. So by convention, I'm going to draw the bending moment diagram on the tension side of the element. You don't have to do it this way. I mean, I'm just going to do it that way, and your way can be just as good as mine. Okay, so there'll be tension in the bottom fiber, compression in the top fiber, right? And then imagine in this experiment, I steadily increase the load and I plot load versus displacement, right? So what you'll see is that when the loads are quite small, that the relationship between load and displacement is completely linear, okay? Completely linear. And then you'll increase the load to a certain point, and then there'll be incipient cracking. So this is the beginning of cracking. And the cracking will occur at a point in the beam where the elongation of the fiber is going to be greatest. Okay. So if you go back to the bending moment diagram, this beam here has constant section properties. So the maximum elongation of the fiber is going to be at the extremities in the bottom here, and it's going to be in the location where you have maximum bending moment. Right. So what's going to happen is the bending moment here is going to be the bending moment here is maximum, and so incipient cracking is going to be correspond to cracks that occur here, and they're going to be vertical cracks. Not off to a side, they're going to be vertical cracks. And that's because if you were to plot the shear force diagram for this, there's no shear force in this region. Okay. And then in the regions from the origin through to a third and from two thirds through to a third, they can also be cracking, but the cracks won't be vertical. They'll lean over. And the reason that they lean over is because of this, okay? The shear force, right? And so if I elongate this the tiny element here, then this is the part. So if I have a crack, it's gonna lean over to the right, okay? Because I'm pulling on this fiber here and compressing this fiber here, right? So, on the left-hand side of the beam, the crack patterns are going to look like this. And on the right-hand side of the beam, the crack patterns are going to look like this. So usually in class, we have a lot of fun with this because, I mean, people, you just could not write down the number of ways that people will screw this up. They'll have cracks at the top of the beam. The cracks here will be vertical. They don't have any feeling for what's going on at all. Okay, makes you wonder how they pass the class. That's a prerequisite to this. Right. So this is good, right? So you can see what you observe in the lab is directly related to the mechanics. Okay, which is what you want. Okay. So the next thing is if I apply the loads on my structure, I want to know how do I get from the material level mechanics through to the element level and building system level response. And so what I'm going to tell you is that there is a pathway from the material response to the section response, to the beam response, and to the building system response that basically corresponds to a sequence of integrations. Okay, so I'm going to be integrating these scales in such a way to maintain equilibrium, starting at the material element and working all the way to the beam and columns and then the building system response itself, right? So to get from the material to the section response, integrate. To get from the section to the beam response, integrate, right? So here I'm integrating over the section, cross section. Here I'm integrating along the profile of the beam or column. And then once I've got the beam response, the force displacement relationship, I can assemble the individual elements into a building system response. And so in order for this system to work well, when I apply a load, of course, it's going to be, you know, stresses and strains at the material level. This whole chain has to remain intact. It's not allowed to fall apart like, you know, Angry Birds or something like that. You're not allowed to do that. So at the material level, you have stress and strain. At the section level, you have section curvature, and which is related to bending moment and EI. So you should have seen that in the prerequisite class. And when I integrate along the beam, I'll get deflection and then slope. So slope is going to be the derivative of deflection with respect to X. And then finally, I'll take the individual elements and I'll assemble them into, you know, some sort of frame or truss, okay? So one big difference between 353 and 453 is the procedures for assembling individual elements into, you know, some sort of frame configuration will be a lot more systematic and organized than what we will cover in this class here, okay? So we have all this these chains of integrations that need to be done. And so the next question is, how will the integration work? So if the problems are sufficiently simple, then you can actually do things with analytical procedures. So, but the math needs to be nice. Right? Otherwise, you need to resort to numerical procedures. And you're going to compute approximations, approximate solutions. So as soon as you go down that road, this is why linear algebra and numerical algorithms are important. And that leads into the whole field of structural analysis and finite elements. Right. So in part two, we'll pick up on this and then talk about how you get from this analysis to the design and the classification of various kinds of structure.